Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's up? It's July 24th. I'm Jeff, and I am back from my marathon road trip, Los Angeles, Boston, and finally here. Covered three drafts over that span of time, talked to a whole bunch of people, and I think I got my finger on the pulse. So we're going to continue on today with the team previews. Remember, draft strategy will be coming up soon as we wrap all this stuff up. But today we will do Indianapolis and Jacksonville. A lot of interesting players on both of these teams. And we'll also get into some mailbag stuff, and you guys keep calling me. Why you keep calling me, bro? You keep calling me, so I'll play some voicemails as well. But yeah, I had to take yesterday off as a result of all the traveling. Oh, come on, man. Really? Shame. We're going to do this Shame. Again?
Shame.
What a, man, the producer of this show is such a jerk. Anyway, we will do shows today, tomorrow, and Friday this week because we got to keep rolling because, I mean, we're almost in August. I don't know where the heck July went. Anyway, let's dive right into it. Let's start with Indianapolis. And I will tell you this, my observations right now, every year, there are hype players. There are players who the masses just gravitate towards. And consequently, we see their ADP explode. And I think it really is sort of a trickle-down effect where it starts in the fantasy industry. We start to see the hype machine. And eventually, you are drafting these players extremely early, basically at their ceiling. And when you draft a player at their ceiling, the only result typically for casual fantasy players is disappointment. And the player I'm referring to here is Anthony Richardson. And believe me, I love Anthony Richardson. He was one of my favorite late round targets last year, and it almost looked like it was going to work. I mean, we saw him in two full games average over 26 points per game in those two games, but we also saw him get hurt twice. And the first time was a concussion. He admitted that was a mistake, by the way. He stopped running as soon as he scored the touchdown. That is not how these guys are taught. When you score, there's a reason why you see like a running back sort of run to the back of the end zone. It's not because that's where they're setting up for their celly. It's because they're running through. That's what they're taught to do. You stop, you get popped. And he got popped and it resulted in a concussion. He has said that was a mistake. The other one was a fluke, but it was also a product of him running a lot. But regardless, let's get back to the original point, and I'll come back to that in a minute here. 26.26 fantasy points per game in the two games, 211.5 passing yards, 1.5 passing scores, 58 rushing yards, and a rushing score in each of those games. I mean, he's awesome. He's really good. But if we're going to be drafting him, I saw him over the weekend get drafted, or it was on Monday, actually, get drafted as QB2. Ahead of Josh Allen. Jalen Hurts went one. You're going to see Hurts or Allen typically as the one. QB2, I mean, that is his ceiling. That is his absolute ceiling. So for that manager, I mean, sure, if he hits the ceiling, great. You kind of get what you want. But the likelihood of that, I just don't want to go there. So Richardson is one of these guys that, yeah, he's going to be a lot of fun, but he's going to go too early, both in one quarterback and super flex leagues. I currently have him at 6 at quarterback, and I even thought that was maybe ceiling, but the hype machine is real. So, you know, again, going to my quarterback strategy, I'm not even worried about these guys. And I would say usually it's like indirectly we can get a piece of him. I'm not convinced that this is going to be a massive passing season for Anthony Richardson. I don't think he's a joke there by any stretch. Actually, you know, my comp for him coming into the league was almost like a Cam Newton but can throw type comp. So I like him, but I don't know if I'm just going out of my way to get Michael Pittman Jr. to get a piece of Anthony Richardson. So just be aware the hype machine at this time of year is real. And, you know, like instead of buying into it, just be aware of it. Be conscious of it. Be conscious also. That's a good thing because your opponents, you're going to have some people in your leagues who have to make the sexy pick, who have to buy into the hype. That's good. That means value is going to fall down the board and we're going to be better off as a result. So I just mentioned Michael Pittman. Let's talk about these wide receivers. Pittman is coming off a 100 catch season. The season before that, he had 99 catches. He is in a lot of ways like the 2020s version of Keenan Allen. Like I realize Keenan Allen is still playing in the 2020s, but you know, like earlier in his career, Pittman is he'll be age 27 season, so he's still in the wheelhouse of his career. And he gets a lot done in the short and intermediate. He's not going to have a high yards per reception. He's not going to have a deep A dot. Like last year, he was average depth of target of 7.9 yards. Like he's not going to see major air yards. And that's okay. You know, that's a nice high floor, but the ceiling is lower, admittedly. 2021, he had six touchdowns. Then he goes 4-4 the last two seasons. And I don't think that changes much. I realize he didn't play with Richardson for most of last year. I don't think it changes much with Richardson. So just be aware of that. Consistency should be there. Reasonably good consistency, but the ceiling isn't quite there. So do we get a ceiling elsewhere here? Like, obviously, Josh Downs is going to be a more of a short air yardage guy as well. He averaged 6.9 air yards per target last year. Was primarily the slot. In fact, 81% of his routes came out of the slot. He was one of three wideouts to top the 80% mark. And I don't think that changes here. So you are looking at somewhat of a limited ceiling there. If you really want bang for your buck, it's got to be the third receiver. But the problem is, who is the third receiver? Last year was Alec Pierce, and he was the downfield target last year. 15 air yards per target. So he had some juice, but in 17 games, he only saw 65 targets. And so at the same time, you have that he really hasn't hit his stride since being drafted. And the team steps up and drafts A.D. Mitchell. Now, there's some concerns to A.D. Mitchell from a personality standpoint. That was the knock on him. But on the field, we saw him break out last year. It was his only season in Texas. He was with Georgia before that. But 55 balls, 845 yards, 11 scores. Big time numbers there with Quinn Ewers as the quarterback. Downfield guy, 16.2 air yards per target. So he is the same exact type of player as Alec Pierce. Maybe, you know, he's an inch shorter, he's 5 pounds lighter. Whoopity-doo. He's the same type of player. Usually when a team steps up and drafts a guy, especially on day one or day two, that is a very similar guy to a guy you had starting last year. The guy who you had starting last year is not going to be starting this year. Usually. Not in every instance. So A.D. Mitchell is a player to keep an eye on. I don't think either, like whoever is the number three, at least initially, is draftable, but you never know during the course of the season. And I love having those watch lists, guys who I want to pick up if they break out, guys who I'm keeping my eye on week in and week out. Jelani Woods is a very athletic tight end who obviously missed all of last year. He was he did see a lot of time in the slot in 2022. Actually, almost 40% of his routes came in the slot. They kicked him out wide 20% of the time. So he can do some things from a move tight end standpoint. They have Kylan Grant in there as well. But of those two, Woods would be the sneaky one. Like if we're tight end streamers, which a tight end streamer is a tough way to live a life, man. But if you are that type of person, I could see how Woods would be viable at times. He's not draftable, but you know, he'll be on that short list there. Okay. So let's move to the backfield. We have Jonathan Taylor there. We know what to expect out of Jonathan Taylor. And finally, back to being healthy. You know, he right now he's 25 and a half years old. So we'll call it his age 25 season. This is his fifth year in the league. So dynasty wise, this is like the last hurrah for me. I will be moving on from him after this year. I actually have him on a couple dynasty rosters. But otherwise, you know, redraft wise, I don't mind him whatsoever. He is going to be a bell cow in this offense. It's a Shane Steichen run scheme. We saw that, you know, it was effective for Miles Sanders. So it should be effective for Jonathan Taylor. I've met RB4. So second round pick, very likely, but he may spill into the first round. Actually, observations right now, maybe he's a first rounder. Although I am seeing some people take Saquon ahead of him or Jahmyr Gibbs ahead of him. Those guys are also tightly bunched for me. I'm not going to talk you out of it one way or the other, but he at the latest is like an early second round guy. So you're not going to get him unless you're kind of rightly positioned. If you do get him, the question is, do we handcuff? And that's ultimately a you decision. I think some people have this notion that you absolutely must handcuff no matter what. It's not true. It's really based on your own personal preference. I like to cuff if I spend a first, second, third round pick on a running back. After that point, I don't give a crap. But if I'm spending a premium pick, I want to protect the investment with some insurance. So a lot of people have been pointing to Evan Hull as the potential handcuff here. I don't think it is. I think it might be Trey Sermon. after what we've seen so far. Now, fortunately, you're probably not drafting today, tomorrow, the next day, but you will be drafting in a couple weeks. I'm going to have a whole thing about handcuffs over at FTNFantasy.com. Today, actually, an article went up that I wrote. It's 5 tips for fantasy football drafts. It's a really basic article that, but I think it's important. And I do it every year. I revise it every year. It's really just some simple draft concepts, draft strategy tips to get you started. And if you want like the entire kit and caboodle, then you can check out the, you know, the game plan draft guide at FTNFantasy.com. That's a promo code Rat Pack for 10% off. It's part of the Fantasy Plus subscription. I give you everything, like break it all down. And the thing I do with it as well, it can apply to you no matter which players you like or don't like. If you are higher on players than I am, that's cool. If you're lower, that's cool. All of it, none of it really matters, because I'm not doing the draft strategy article that says select this guy in round one, this guy in round two, this guy in round three. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It builds bad teams. Instead, knowing how to use the strategies based on your personal preference, the ordering of players, such a much more effective methodology. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I know, oh, Mr. Fancy Pants using the word methodology. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be straightforward stuff. So to cuff or not to cuff ultimately comes down to you, but I will have a handcuffing article over at FTNFantasy.com in August. All right, let's move over to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is a very fascinating team, man. Trevor Lawrence was a disappointment for some last year, but I think, again, it's about expectation, it's about strategy, and it's about how certain strategies don't really tend to work that well. The reason why Lawrence ended up being a disappointment for people was because he was a middle-round quarterback last year who, year over year, really didn't improve. You know, his numbers, in fact, other than, you know, he had more rushing yards, everywhere else, it was like a slight decline. I mean, he didn't play all 17 games. He missed a game, right? But it was a slight decline. But overall, it really wasn't a disappointing season. It was just disappointing for people because they used a middle-round pick on a quarterback. Moral of the story, resisting the urge in the middle rounds is something that I have found in recent years now to be just a really, really effective strategy. Resist the urge at quarterback in the middle rounds. But I like him this year, and I actually like him a lot where we're able to get him because of that, we don't have to draft him in the middle rounds. I am at QB 16, but let's be clear. Somebody was hitting me up about this, and like, I think people get too bogged down by the difference between 14 to 16, 15 to 16, 13 to 16. Guess what? Those guys are all in the same range. In fact, I could say maybe even 12 to 16. Like, there's almost nothing that separates them. Tua, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence. It's maybe slightly different profiles for those guys, each one of them, but nothing really separates them. And, you know, my response usually is like, if you disagree, cool, just put it in the order that you want it. Like, there's no arguing that's going to change things on my end. I'm not going to be, oh, Joe Schmo on Twitter said this, so I better adjust my rankings. No. If you don't agree, then move them around. And then sometimes people will be like, well, I don't understand why he's at 16 if he finished at QB 12 last year. Well, it's because all those guys are basically the same. And it's a pick your poison. You know, that's a beauty to having something like tiers for draft day. If I have Lawrence at the bottom of a tier and you think he should be at the top, move him to the top. If I have him in tier 5, which I don't have my tiers in front of me, I'm just spitballing here, and you think he's in tier 4, move him to tier 4. Like, you can do that. You can empower yourself. You can take control of your own drafts, right? This is my TED talk right here. All right, so Trevor Lawrence, very nice target as a late round option this year, and a very nice target in Superflex as well. He's a classic post-type sleeper. He, of course, has a slightly revised wide receiver group. Calvin Ridley is out. Christian Kirk is still there, but they replace that spot, you know, Ridley, with really two downfield guys, Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas Jr. With Gabe Davis, we know, I hope by now, I really hope by now, we know what to expect out of him. It will be a wild ride. And there will be weeks where Gabe Davis has 3 catches for 125 and 2 touchdowns. And then there will be weeks where Gabe Davis has 1 catch for 12 yards. And if you cannot handle that type of profile, don't draft Gabe Davis. Don't just cut that portion of the, you know, Ratcliffe said, don't draft Gabe Davis. I mean, obviously he's not going very early. I'm saying if you can't handle it, if you can't handle a roller coaster, inconsistent fantasy profile, just don't draft that type of player. Because some fantasy managers can't. And really, at the core of this game, the reason why we play fantasy football is because it's fun. And if you're playing a game that is supposed to be fun, that truly just makes you miserable, why play the game? It just makes no sense to me. So he's got that profile, but I fear that Brian Thomas Jr. does as well. Now, if you've been paying attention all offseason, like some people have just come back into the fold. Unfortunately, after like 2 years, they didn't realize that I had a completely different podcast for the last 2 years. I also have a radio show on SiriusXM. If you're just coming back into the fold, I appreciate you. I did not disappear for the last 2 years, but I also every year write this thing called the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide, and I do player comps in that. So the first version comes out before the NFL draft. It's early April every year, and it is essentially just my scouting reports for all of the viable players fantasy-wise in the draft, and I go really deep. Like we're talking 150-plus skill position guys, and then the top guys get really detailed breakdowns, not exceeding like not like 5,000 words, but I'm talking like I get you a little bit more in depth with those guys than some of the deeper ones. Basically, anybody who I'm anticipating being drafted in rookie drafts. So I did a pretty good write up on Brian Thomas Jr. along with the player comp, and people really did not like the player comp. But I think people misunderstand player comps. So my player comp, are you ready? Kevin White. Okay, now let's be clear about this. I'm not saying he's going to be Kevin White, the NFL bust. I'm saying he is a player like Kevin White at the college level. And let's be clear, Kevin White was not a college bust. He was a one-year wonder, but he was not a college bust. Who had massive size and speed, you know, that freakish size-speed combination, elite athleticism and size. Brian Thomas has that. He ran in the 4.3s at 6'3", 209. He has that. He was a one-year wonder. Now, some people will point to 17 touchdowns in the SEC, and yeah, no joke. But really, if you look at it, so last year he had 1,177 yards, 17 scores, 68 catches. In his first two seasons at LSU, combined, he had 720 yards, 7 scores, and 59 catches. He was a one-year wonder. And that is something that has to be said. Now, comping, I don't comp the career arc, I comp the player style. And he does play the game very similarly to how Kevin White did. Kevin White didn't work out, but that doesn't mean Brian Thomas can't. And I don't mind taking flyers on Brian Thomas. I'd actually rather take a flyer on the unknown of Brian Thomas than the known of Gabe Davis, to be clear. We know what Christian Kirk is. Lower ceiling guy. Last year in 12 games caught 57 balls. He should, in theory, still be, you know, the 1-1A with Evan Ingram. I don't know where the balls exactly go from there in terms of distribution between Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas, but Kirk will be busy. It's just he doesn't have the biggest ceiling. You know, he had 8 touchdowns in 2022, but last year comes back to earth with 7 in 12 games. Honestly, I those types of players I typically don't gravitate towards in redraft leagues. Maybe more best ball just to get exposure to him, just in case like he does have like an Amon-Ra type like 10 touchdown season, something along those lines. But otherwise, not really my favorite target in redraft. So if I'm going to get a piece, I might take a flyer on Brian Thomas. Right now, Evan Ingram is in the outside of my wheelhouse tight ends. The reason being, I just don't see him matching last year's volume. And if he doesn't match last year's volume, it's going to be hard for him to be anything better than a back-end tight end one. And you might think, well, hey, back-end tight end one, that means he's startable. Well, yeah, but he's really capped. And the thing that really pulls me back with Evan Ingram, the reason why he is behind Kyle Pitts in my rankings, the reason why he is behind George Kittle in my rankings, and he is just behind them. I have George Kittle at 6, Pitts at 7, Ingram at 8, is the lack of touchdown upside. Last year in a 114-catch season, one of the most productive from a volume standpoint tight end seasons in NFL history, he had 4 touchdowns. You know, the only Zach Ertz had more receptions, by the way, in a single season by a tight end. He had 116 in 2018. 4 touchdowns. And that's not an anomaly for Evan Ingram. It's not an anomaly on tight end either. Like, I'm not knocking Evan Ingram, but I'm also playing a game where touchdowns are disproportionately important. And so that's what kind of pulls me back. I do think somebody else is going to take him anyway, so I'm fine with that. And honestly, if I'm getting a piece of this offense, instead of me getting Evan Ingram, it's probably me getting Trevor Lawrence. It really is. That's where I'm getting a piece of this offense. You kind of have to pick and choose your spots. Of course, Travis Etienne is here. coming off of a massive 300-plus touch season. In fact, last year he had 325, only McCaffrey, 339, and Rashad White, 336, had more. And that was up, almost 75 touches from his rookie season. He had 256 in his rookie season. Well, second year. I know. Somebody's going to come around and correct me on that. He didn't play in his first year, but whatever. You correct me on it. His second year. Fine. He's got the speed. We know that. He's got the three down ability. We know that. But he also has, you know, two guys who are fairly capable behind him in Tank Bigsby. Well, Tank Bigsby is making progress. And then D'Ernest Johnson. Like the Jags coaching staff said about Tank Bigsby that they really want to see more consistency out of him. He is a guy who they could use in short yardage situations for sure. D'Ernest Johnson's just a guy type, and he's now 28 years old as well. I really don't know how much of a role he's going to have this year because it really seems like they're angling towards, like, pushing towards Bigsby being more involved as the clear number two back this year. So if you drafted ETN, that would be the route I went if you were going to handcuff him, is Bigsby. ETN is number 10 in my running back rankings. So, you know, he's very viable as an anchor. Just be aware, like, they're going to go out of their way, especially this is a team that has playoff aspirations this year. They're going to go out of their way to make sure that he stays as fresh as possible. If they overload him early, that isn't going to happen. So, you know, that's just something to note with Travis Etienne. So there you go. There is the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I have an email set up for you guys to email in if you want your questions answered on the show itself here, the podcast itself. It's therantpodjr@gmail.com. It's all one word, therantpodjr@gmail.com. Jason was checking in an email entitled Tyrod Taylor. I don't know which one it is at this point. I've been hearing both. Anyway, he said he only listened to the first episode and he loves it. He said it's a concentrated version of what us diehards need. Well, I disagree. I don't even know if it's a concentrated version. I think it's just different than the radio show. I'm not doing the radio show voice. It's more intimate. But he said, I love that you've made yourself more approachable. Was I ever not approachable? He said, last year he set up a Twitter account just to send him a picture of his cargo shorts, but couldn't figure it out. Yeah, I'm actually thankful for that, Jason. He said, don't give Gmail a hard time. He's still using AOL. I'm not giving Gmail a hard time. I appreciate the fact that they let me set that up. It's more the fact that the rantpod@gmail.com was gone. That was what I was, like, pissed about. But who takes that? Seriously. Anyway, he said, two questions. Is the podcast a supplemental to the show? No, it is not. It is not. This has nothing to do with SiriusXM. SiriusXM is my employer, for sure, one of them, but this is not a supplement. This has nothing to do with them. He said, I want to listen to both, but 2 hours a day is a big commitment. Honestly, it depends on what you want. It's actually a good question. It's, like, unrelated to fantasy, but it is. So if you want something that's more entertaining and you want, like, you know, active live engagement, because I do that all the way, callers and Twitter and you want potential guests. Like, we've had some big guests on the radio show. I've had Ice Cube on the show. I still don't believe that. I've had some actors. I've had some athletes, you know. It's different. This is just going to be largely me. I'm not going to have guests, you know. Like, the other show that I'll do, the other podcast, the FTN Fantasy Podcast, there will be co-hosts, whatnot, all of that. But no, it just depends on what you want. All right, so he goes on, and this is regarding Tyrod Taylor. He said, during the Cleveland Browns season of Hard Knocks, we learned that it was pronounced Tyrod Taylor. During the Giants season of Hard Knocks, however, they kept calling him Tyrod Taylor. Did I miss something? Which one is it? I really don't know. So I had a conversation with somebody behind the scenes, and I had said Tyrod, and I got this look like, bro, seriously, you're calling him that? And I was like, what? He said that's how you say it. He's like, he's Tyrod. His name is Tyrod. He's been called Tyrod his entire life. And I think, like, basically the gist was that he thought, my source thought that Tyrod was messing with us on the Cleveland Browns episode, season of Hard Knocks. I really don't know. I'm going back to Tyrod. I heard that too. I heard Brian Daboll and whatnot using Tyrod. So I think that it is what it is. I don't think there's a wrong answer. But he also said, if there are 12 anchor running backs, would I be better off waiting until the second round for a running back if I can get an elite wide receiver in the first? Well, see, that's not quite the strategy. I hear where you're going with this, like the direction you're going in with this, but it really depends on who's available. Like if you're saying, like, let's say I'm picking at four and it went CeeDee, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase. Like, are you going to pass on McCaffrey? It's a hypothetical, but you really don't know who's going to be there. Like if your league goes crazy wide receiver and Bijan is there at 9 or 10, I can't pass on him because he will be the top player on my board at that point. And that's the early strategy in these drafts. The first three rounds, what you do will depend on what is there. And then in round two and three, what you have done in round one. And then when you get to three, what you did in round one and two. So we'll get into the strategy, but no, I think that's maybe overthinking a little bit. Believe it or not, it actually is pretty dumbed down. Steven checking in. And he said he likes the advice and process, listens to Rant, SXM show. And he said, an FTN subscriber. Appreciate that. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATBACK for 10% off. He said he's an IPA guy. Have I tried hop water? Zero alcohol, zero calories. I have. If I'm going to go with an NA, I would rather just drink like Athletic or something like that. And I do go NA a lot. It's only like 60 calories. I mean, if you really wanted one of the non-alcoholics with very low calorie that do taste pretty good, but they don't quite taste like beer, the BrewDogs, like they're like 20 calories, I think. But I'm not like, I honestly don't care about 60 calories. Like if it was 260 calories, then yeah, probably would care. just a little health conscious. But he actually has a real question. He said, I have CJ Stroud as a 13th round keeper. Would I look for safe and upside? No, if I have CJ Stroud, I already know where he's going with this. All right. Can you tell I've been asked a lot of these questions before? And it's a good question, though. I'm not knocking the question. So here's the deal. If you have CJ Stroud, you're not drafting from the safe and upside tier, even though you're keeping him in the range where those guys would be going. You have a guy who is in tier two for me. So if I have a tier two quarterback, I do not need a second quarterback. And remember, that's what it is. It's not a backup. He's a second quarterback. So I have Stroud. I'm good. There's only one week I would need a second quarterback, and that's Stroud's bye. Ideally, like here, I'm going to knock wood, all right? Just so you hear it. Ready? All right, knock wood, provided Stroud stays healthy. Otherwise, I only need the second quarterback, the other starter, the week that Stroud's on bye, and guess what? I'm going to pick him up that week or maybe the week before, but usually it's just that week. I'd say 95 times out of 100, it's that week. All right, let me go on to another one here. Ben has an auction question. He said, I know this is a really tough question because there's so many variables. It depends on your league tendencies, blah, blah, blah. He says, yada, yada, yada. But he said, what's your general plan going into an auction draft regarding how much to spend on the highest ranked players versus the rest of your roster? Oh, that's interesting. So I'm actually going to do an auction pod. I have my auction, my big auction at the Kings Classic in Canton, Ohio, the weekend of the Fantasy Football Expo. So if anybody's going to be there, I'll be there. Definitely come and say hi. Have a beer with me, whatever. I really love seeing people. I got to see a bunch of people in LA, in Boston, in Philly, folks who listen to this podcast, the radio show, etc. So anyway, the expo is awesome, by the way. I don't draft that way. I don't worry about spending on highest ranked player. In fact, based on my allocations, usually like the highest running backs are way too expensive. Usually the highest wide receivers, the highest priced wide receivers are way too expensive because I'll blow through my allocations. And when I say allocation, I just simply mean I'm going to spend X percentage, or you could do it in dollars too, like X percentage or X amount of dollars at running back, at wide receiver, at tight end, at quarterback. I will do a whole auction strategy podcast. One more here. Brent. His email is entitled Beginner Tips. Said, thanks for what you do. Appreciate it. Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you guys for listening. I don't do this if you guys don't listen. Has been playing fantasy football for a while, and this year his 12-year-old son, oh, this is awesome. He said he came to him and told him he has an organized fantasy league with his buddies. That's so cool. The next generation is here, man. He said he told me he hoped he would get the first pick so he could get Mahomes, which made me cringe. Yeah, that is cringeworthy. Also made me think about the fact that when I first started playing, I probably had the same mindset. I was curious from your perspective, what would the number one piece of fantasy advice be for a newbie? Sorry for the length of the email. Oh, this is a short email, Brent. Don't worry about that. So, wow, first piece of advice. I guess in this instance here, maybe the direction would be don't worry about how many points a player scores. Worry how many more points that player is projected to score than the next highest guy on waivers, right? So I would try to basically introductory level introduce the concept of value over replacement. And then you can start getting a real good sense of how player value actually works. So knowing how to value players is one of the most important things that you can do in fantasy. It'll help you across the board. It'll help you in drafts. It'll help you in trades. It'll help you in waivers. It'll help you in start-sit decisions. It helps you everywhere. So I think that would be the starting spot. Like showing them every week you're going to have the opportunity to pick up these guys. Well, look at the difference between the quarterbacks who you can pick up, who might even be somebody like Aaron Rodgers. Like, you know, if you're in a 12-team league, Aaron Rodgers is out of my top 18, and I expect usually around 18 quarterbacks to be drafted. Deshaun Watson, guys like that. The gap between them and the top quarterbacks is nowhere near as significant as the gap between Christian McCaffrey and, oh boy, who are we picking up? Like, we're in the mid RB40s, so like RB45 for me right now is J.K. Dobbins. RB46, Jerome Ford, though that could change for Nick Chubb's situation. Khalil Herbert's after that. Like, that's ugly. The gap from Watson to Josh Allen, a lot closer. Way closer than that other gap. So I think that would be the first place. That's a really, I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. And I've worked, you know, from anywhere from beginner level players to advanced level players will listen to my stuff and pay attention and read my stuff. So that's really cool. That was really cool. Appreciate you, Brent. If you want to email in as well, it's therantpodjr@gmail.com. I do have voicemails here as well. So let me get another voicemail. Here it is.
Jeff.
What the? Wow. I told you guys to be creative.
Shenanigans?
Yeah, that was shenanigans indeed. Wow. All right. Well, I do actually have another one here. By the way, the number is 215-720-1708. So let's get to the next one.
Hey, Jeff. Big fan. Been with you since 2019. I found you on a Reddit thread in the fantasy football subreddit. Been listening to the rant ever since. FTN subscriber. Got a little quick question. My home league, it's 11 of my best friends, including me. It's a 12-man league. We usually do our draft online, and mostly due to the fact that not everyone can meet up in person, and a couple of folks actually prefer to do it online. But anyways, we are shooting to do an offline draft this year, and I'm wondering, what are your tips for getting people to pick within the time of the pick? Say it's a 90-second limit or a 2-minute limit. There's always that kind of pick. And when the time goes out, you know, I need a penalty. I'm thinking about bringing a super soaker and just, you know, blasting someone. Hey, if you have any tips, I'd appreciate it.
That's funny. I appreciate you. Yeah. Back in the PFF days, if you found me in 2019, I think I remember doing that Reddit actually. I've done one every year since. The guy at Reddit who runs like the fantasy football Reddit reaches out to me and has me do an AMA. I'm sure I'll probably do one next month. So that's cool. That's cool. I didn't know that, you know, that actually led to stuff, but I'll take it. So usually it's just peer pressure. Usually like there'll be a point where somebody isn't picking and you go like, yo, who's up? Like that sort of thing. I've never really had a penalty per se, but usually if you have like an enforcer, somebody who's like more on top of it, I wouldn't say set an actual limit, but just tell people like kind of try and make your picks in a timely manner. That's usually the best bet. Now, I do have a unique penalty that happens in one of my home leagues, where if you try to pick somebody who's already been drafted, and this is like a quote offline draft, you know, you have a draft board with stickers and all of that, like old school. If you try and pick somebody who's already been picked, you have to do a shot. And I think the first year we had something like not necessarily ideal for a hot day in August. It was like Crown Royal or something like that. But yeah, that I don't think you should do that if somebody's waiting too long. A super soaker is kind of funny, but you may piss off some of these guys, that's for sure. So I don't know. I would just have an enforcer make sure that person is like your clock czar. And usually they'll keep things running that way. All right, so that's going to do it for today. You guys are coming up with good stuff, so keep it coming. 215-720-1708 is the phone line there, and it's just a voicemail line. You can call and leave a message. I do have plenty of them in the hopper, so I'll come back to those. Apparently, somebody called me and was trying to get me to authorize a payment on there. I don't even know, like, how did this happen? Am I going to have Nigerian princes calling me on this thing soon too? What the heck, man? Anyway, hit that up. I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to continue on with the preview series. So we have Kansas City. That's going to be fun. The Raiders. I mean, who's their quarterback first and foremost? So we'll get into those two teams plus more from the mailbag and the voicemails. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe, ftmfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.